For the opening this morning, I just wanted to talk about one of the phrases that Jesus used really, really often. If there's a certain phrase that we would connect to him as his phrase, it would probably be this one. Sometimes he used it in the beginning, before he started saying something. Sometimes he concluded with this saying. Sometimes it seems like he paused in the middle of a thought. What was it?
Barely.
Not quite. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And thank God for ears. Thank God for the ability to hear. We could hardly imagine a world without sound. Sound catches our attention. It affects our emotions. It does so many things to us. And I would say that sound is crucial to our survival. Though it's true that people who are deaf and can't hear can get by and live life, but still I think for sure in the natural world, in the animal kingdom, in the world of survival for the fittest, when an animal goes deaf and can't hear, he doesn't last long. It's an extreme handicap. It cripples him. He'll be one of the first ones to be taken out. Animals always, maybe not always, but usually have their ears pricked, their ears tuned. They hear sounds, and then they try to decide if this sound is something they can eat or something that will eat them. And depending on what they decide about that sound has a lot to do with their action, their reaction to the sound. Well, what is sound anyway? So scientifically, sound is the energy that is produced when something vibrates. For instance, if someone beats a drum, the skin on that drum vibrates. It's so fast you can't see it vibrate, but there's a vibration there. And what that vibration does is it makes the air around it vibrate. And then this vibration of air goes out in all directions. It vibrates the air. And eventually, once it comes to your ear, the air inside your ear vibrates. And that vibration, you then hear the sound of the drum. Okay, and so it is with every sound. It would be similar, maybe you children can grasp it better. It's pretty similar to if you would drop a rock in the water, and that rock hits the water, and all of a sudden it sends waves out in every direction. And eventually the waves die out to nothing. But if before they die out to nothing, they hit an object, it creates a little splash. And that'd be like... and be like the sound that hits your ears. It's similar, not exactly the same, but very similar. Our ears are so amazing that as I'm speaking right now, my tongue and my lips are making different sounds, and it's sending out different frequencies, and therefore you, by the time this, what I'm speaking is sending little vibrations of air out there. By the time it's hitting your ears, there's a different frequency, a different wavelength, and you can distinguish between one word, one sound that I'm making and another. Your ears are so amazing that they distinguish that difference. They detect and they analyze the different characteristics of the wavelength. I mean, isn't that amazing? Aren't we fearfully and wonderfully made? So all day long, all day long as we go about our days, there's all kinds of vibrations going on in the air. All kinds of vibrations fill our ears. And we decipher the sound. What is it? What's the meaning? I had this thought to try something, kind of for the boys. it would maybe be a little more interesting if it was warm enough and all the doors and windows were open, but let's try for about a minute maybe to just all be really, really, really quiet. Okay, nobody move, nobody make a sound, and then I'll ask you, some of you boys, what you heard. Okay, so if possible, let's just be really quiet for a little bit. Okay, half a minute's enough. A minute gets awfully long. anybody want to volunteer? What did you hear? Dito? You hear anything? Okay. Somebody heard a coffee pot. Just the little gurgling sound. What about you, Sasha? You hear anything? Hot water heater. What about you, Titus? You heard a baby. They weren't quiet. What's going on? Levi, how about you?
A chair creak.
Somebody moved. Uh-oh. Micah, how about you?
I heard the garage door rattle.
The what rattle? The garage door rattled. Probably a little wind hit it or something. See that? There's all kinds of sounds out there. And all those sounds, however quiet they were all sending a little vibration out there. And if you really tuned your ears, you picked them up. Some of these sounds we never notice, even though they're there. And sometimes you can be right beside someone, and we know that the same air frequencies, the same sound waves are going through the air, but one person hears something and another person doesn't. If you've ever spent time with a bird watcher or a bird lover, you'll notice that. You'll be, if you're not too interested, you kind of hear the birds, but all of a sudden he says, "Hey, that was an oriole," or something. He heard something that you were totally, it didn't register with you. I once read this story how there was a Native American went to the town or the city or whatever where there was this hustle and bustle and rattle and all kinds of noise going on, and he was walking with a few white men and he said, "I hear a cricket," and the white men said, "What in all this rumble and noise you heard a cricket?" And he said, "Yeah." And he went over to a little place where there was maybe a flower pot or something, and sure enough, there was a cricket there. And they said, "Wow, you have such wonderful ears." And he said, "No, my ears are just tuned to this. Watch this." And the Indian takes a pocket full of coins and drops them on the ground, and everybody looks like... Yeah, we hear what our ears are tuned for. Walter Jr. is here. When we start up an automobile, I have this idea that I hear one thing and Walter Jr. probably hears something else, right? And depending, sometimes at least, like my ears just aren't tuned to like catch these little things that might be wrong on it, and then it affects my actions. I might start up a vehicle. And for me, I might sit in the seat, put it in a drive, and head forward. And a mechanic might go for his wrenches and screwdrivers to fine-tune something because he hears a problem. and so we start realizing that hearing is not just a physical activity. It's a reaction in our mind that a reaction in our mind to the audibles that are set before us. And so, now when Jesus says, "He that has ears to hear," he's not just saying, he's not just talking about to all you people who have a physical ear and can audibly hear the sound waves that come from my mouth here. He's saying something like, he that has a soul that understands the meaning of what I'm saying, let him have a proper reaction to it. he says more some more interesting things about hearing. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, he says, "So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him." So, I think maybe the King James says, "Take heed how you hear. Be careful how you listen." Because here's how it works. To him who hears and has and reacts properly, more will be given. But to him who doesn't do that, the one who doesn't react properly, even what he thinks he hears will be taken away. It'll become duller and duller and duller, and finally he can't hear anymore at all. Carol's grandpa, he doesn't live anymore, but he lost his physical hearing. Not totally, but he became real hard of hearing in his old years. And it was pretty hard to have a conversation with him. And you kind of could one-on-one. But I remember a few of the last gatherings, family gatherings, where when he was still alive. Like he just zoned out. He could hear a little bit, but everything was just a rumble, just an undistinguishable clamor. I thought this, but Carol didn't remember this morning when I asked her. Maybe this pertains to someone else, but someone else that I think that's pretty common for people. Once they kind of lose their hearing, everything is just kind of this undistinguished clamor. I don't know if it was him or not, but someone used to just put earplugs in their ears because they could hear this rumble, but they couldn't make anything out, and so it was better just to plug the ears and not hear. But anyway, in a lot of those family meetings, he just laid down and slept. He fell asleep. There was just not enough. He just couldn't get it. And that's physical. I don't know that that's anything he could help but that's exactly what happens spiritually when people don't take heed how they listen, when they're not careful about how they hear, and all of a sudden, as time goes on, what you thought you even heard becomes undistinguishable clamor, and finally it's like, let's just plug the ears, and people fall asleep spiritually. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And he said, "A stranger's voice, they don't know. They are tuned. They hear his voice, and a stranger's voice, they don't hear. They hear these sound waves come into their ears and vibrate there, but it's an undistinguished sound. They don't follow it. It creates a different reaction in them than when they hear the shepherd's voice. We need to be discerning hearers. There's many spirits out there that seek for our soul, but don't believe all of them. We need to be discerning, like those animals who hear and then decide whether this sound they heard is something to eat or something that'll eat them. Right? We need to when we hear this a spirit or a voice that is speaking to our soul, we need to decide: is this something to chew on, or is Or is this something that'll chew on us? And the difference should create a different reaction in us. Back in my days when I hunted, hunted, and I used to try to mimic sounds. Used to call or even just my mouth or something to try to mimic a sound that would maybe make a fox or a coyote come looking for a meal. And if that fox or coyote couldn't discern the subtle difference between the sound I was making and the actual critter that would make the sound, he ended up becoming the meal instead of finding a meal. Except I don't care much for eating fox and coyotes, but I did skin them and sell the furs. We need to be tuned. We need to be careful how we hear. Just a few more verses here in John chapter 12. Verse 28 and 29. So Jesus had been speaking, and he ended up saying, "Father, glorify your name." And then this is what it says in verse 28. "Then a voice came out of heaven, 'I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.'" And then verse 29 says, "So the crowd of people who stood by heard it were saying that it thundered, and others were saying, 'An angel has spoken to him.'" And so here was this sound, and we all know the same sound waves went out, right? The same vibration hit people's ears, but to some people, it sounded like an angel's voice. And others were like just this undistinguishable thunder. In closing, I wanted to look at a verse yet in Luke 19. I thought this one was real precious. The very last two verses. So here's Jesus. Verse 47, it says, "And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him." So Jesus is in the temple daily, preaching, teaching. And the chief priests and the people who were against him and against what was going on and against this movement were there trying to find a way to stop this movement, trying to find a way to get rid of this man and to stop this movement. And then look at verse 48. It says, "And they could not find anything that they might do, for all the people were hanging on to every word he said." The King James says, "For all the people were very attentive to hear him." The enemies of God, who would like to destroy everything that's from God, righteousness, preaching, the word, they lose their ability when we very attentively hang on to every word of the Lord. God bless you all. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You can open it up for comments and corrections and thoughts.
Thanks, Dwayne. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12 says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, Jehovah has made even both of them." And it kind of it occurred to me how that, like, it sort of seems like, I mean, here you got all these, like, just like powerful deep wisdom, and then God made eyes and ears, and then it just goes on. Like, it could seem like not that big of a, like, out of place maybe. Recently I was praying somewhat recently, and then I got, when I was done praying, I like looked up and saw the stars, or this, I saw the sky, and I don't know if I was quite convicted or just like kind of got me thinking, like a little bit convicted about how I had just finished talking to God. like I looked up at the stars and I was like, oh, you made the stars. Like, who was I just talking to? Who did I think I was? Like, sometimes I try to imagine myself like before his throne, or but I was like, wow, who was I talking to? Like, he made the heavens, he made the stars. And then I just had this thought, like, what? That, and that statement there, he made the seeing eye. He made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Like, that's just, or it'd be arguable, like, what's more magnificent, the heavens and the stars, or the seeing eye that can perceive and and appreciate them? I'm sorry, that was something I wanted to say. Oh, I in the past I've had this thought, maybe others have had this thought too, when I considered blindness or deafness. I don't know why the human mind does this, but I was like, if I had to choose between blindness or deafness, which would I choose? And I always thought, oh, well, of course I'd rather be deaf than blind. Like, blind just seems like the worst, like you can't see anything. And then when you were talking about family gatherings, I kind of thought, like, oh, like how that in a very overly simplified way you could say, like, well, seeing is very personal. Like if you're all alone, you can't, walking through a path, walking down the street, trying to do things, like you could be all alone and nearly not really need your sense of sound. I mean, there would be exceptions, obviously, but like, I would think to myself, how would I get along if I couldn't see? But then I could see how, I could, and you said this, seeing is very like personal, and whereas hearing is very, like we're in this room and everybody could close their eyes and I can just, we're still communicating, like it's this wonderful ability. I can imagine a family gathering, like, wouldn't matter, you could just close your eyes and listen to everybody talk and interact in a conversation and share wisdom, whereas you'd be so handicapped doing that if you could. Anyway, just this thought, like the difference in those. And then maybe some of you would know about this, but one time I had, my car was making a funny noise, and you lift up the hood and there's belts and wheels and little motors and little, all these things going, and of course there's the big engine, and and they're all making noises. And they're all making sort of similar sounding noises. And I was like, what's the problem? Anyway, I went to a mechanic shop and I pulled out. I was like, would you guys just tell me what's making this funny noise in my car? If it's something I should worry about. And they all said right away, it's a bearing. And but there's like, you know, just this multitude of bearings down in there. How can you tell which one? And one of the guys that had some wisdom, he said, hang on a second. And anybody know what he went and got? A great big long screwdriver. And he came and he took that screwdriver and he touched it down to something that had a bearing and started listening to the screwdriver. No, put it on there. And you could hear it when he touched it to the bearing that was out, or the whatever the little motor was that had the bearing that was out, you could hear it get like kind of louder. You could hear that screwdriver. Anybody ever listen to a screwdriver? If you touch them to the right thing, you can hear them. Anyway, so that was pretty neat. We could tell which. He said, "Yep, it's that one right there." And you could, I think one of the other guys maybe was even like, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, try it." And he was like, "Well, how about that?" You know, you could hear that screwdriver. I just thought, people have kind of mocked sometimes different versions of the. They make these different crude versions of the Bible. Like I saw one that was like a version of the Bible for street kids, and it had Jesus talking all these cool slangs, this cool slang talk. Anyway, I thought if there was a crude auto mechanic version of the Bible, Jesus would have said, "Those of you who brought your long screwdrivers, put it." Instead of who has ears to hear, whoever has their screwdriver, put it here. Listen, this is what you should be listening to.
Thanks, Brother Dwayne. That was a blessing. I went coyote hunting once when I was a teenager. And some relatives of ours brought all the gear, and it was a giant red light that is supposed to be indiscernible, I guess, to the coyotes, but we can use it for pointing and aiming a rifle. And then a distressed rabbit call. And we went out and picked out the spot. They were sure, seemed like they were pretty confident it was going to work. And we sat up on this hill with chairs, and it was a nice, peaceful night, and it was quiet. And then we sent out this horrible shriek of a squealing rabbit. Did that for about a minute or so, and then shined out our big red light. And the forest around this clearing was full of eyes, all looking at us, but no coyote eyes. We turned off the light, more rabbits squealing, and then we turned the light back on, and there were less eyes out in the forest. And then we turned it off, more rabbits squealing, turned it back on, and there were just a few eyes out in the forest. And then tried it one more time, and finally it was dark in the forest, and there were no eyes reflecting our lights anymore. And it didn't take long till coyote hunting was over. And I just wish, like, I wish it was that simple with the enemy, that we could just easily tell it's a counterfeit and a fake. But unfortunately, I think he's a master huntsman, and so he's really good at mingling kernels of truth with his false message. And it's more like a siren song and something sometimes that we have to fight really hard against. And only in knowing the truth that we have left in the scriptures can we fight it and really hear the real voice of the shepherd. Anyway, I was blessed by that.
I really appreciated that message. What made me think about was losing any one capability from the human body. It doesn't seem like it would be such a significant thing to lose your hearing, but I don't know if anybody's ever experienced it. If they ever had like a plugged ear, it kind of can almost like throw your movement off, like walking. Not just losing eyesight, clearly you wouldn't be able to move very well unless you trained yourself, but it seems like when any one part of your body is not functioning as it should, all the rest of you just feels like out of tune, out of whack, like nothing seems like quite the same, especially for the... Well, I guess the most handicapping one is probably having your back go out. You're losing the main support of your body, and aside from your legs. So it's scary to think about losing those things, and then Micah talking about cutting his finger this last week. That sounds terrible, like to lose a finger. And so I can't remember what, isn't there, there's a passage about something about the body parts mourning the loss of a body part. Does anybody remember something about that?
Right,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was eight. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brother Dwayne. And sounds of silence. Sometimes the sounds of silence can drive people, you know, wild. They need the noise. They need the radio on, the TV on. They don't want to listen to their heartbeat or the blood rush through the veins, or they need noise. And it's sad. I appreciate your comments, buddy, and Max and Rob. And Brother Dwayne said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And, you know, the ear, it sends an impulse, a brain, impulse to the brain, and the brain, and like the eyes. And man has developed radar. You can pick up sound, telescope for the eyes and things. And Julius Caesar, you know, Ides of March was a few days ago. First thing that Mark Antony said, he didn't come to praise Caesar, came to bury him. But how did it start off? Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. And Jesus said on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And one of my sins is, as you brothers know me and you love me, but one of my sins sometimes is my tongue. We only have one mouth, but we have two ears. Shows you we'd listen more than we speak and think before we speak. And I love you, brethren. The Lord be magnified.
I remember Paul talks about one gift of the interpretation of tongues. And I feel like that is, one day I was in Arkansas at work, we went to eat, and around the table it was, they were talking about weed eating. It was like, oh yeah, that weed eating, it's dangerous, man. You really got to wear safety glasses when you're going weed eating. I just feel like, well, the interpretation was, when you're going to your brother and trying to pluck out weeds from him, wear your safety glasses so you don't get a beam in your eye. Or I was sitting with Dijon one day, and we were eating, and Dijon said, can you digest things? Dijon said, can you digest things well? And like, it's just like, oh, like, yeah, given in the right context, we should be able to digest that food. Just the diversity of the Lord. It's just amazing.